Babe, thanks so much for that. What is it called? That music. It's amazing. Good job, Mr. Producer. Hi, guys. We are live. Thank you so much for tuning in on Facebook, on YouTube. I can see the comments. I can see there were even the questions have already been written. Gosh, I'm so excited. I haven't done this for over a month. Thank you for your patience. It gets a bit overwhelming being home and doing everything, being a wife, being a mom, being a the person who's doing all, most of the housework and most recently in schooling, our daughter Taji. So finally, I've made and committed time to do this live because this is a I've been getting questions about homeschooling and how people are adjusting during this season. Because I mean, like the government announced, was it last week? This is not going to end anytime soon. Most people are going to have their kids at home until 2021. So yeah, I felt like this is a very important topic to discuss and have someone who has been doing this for quite a while. She can, talk to us about her experience, and hopefully through our conversation you can learn and hopefully get some tips to adapt to your own family. So right now I'd like to introduce Melissa Wahoo, who's my friend. Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Yay, thank you so much for your patience with me. I know I've been talking to you about this for a few weeks and we're finally doing it. And yeah, thank you so much, Melissa, for joining us. Yeah, I think I won't even introduce you because to me, I feel like you have a lot of, what are those things called, qualifications in terms of supermom, 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 supermom. But yeah, I'm sure everyone who's listening would like to hear who you are, what you do. So yes, please introduce yourself, Melissa.
Thank you so much for pushing me into this conversation. I am generally a very shy person. Even if you search for me online, my social presence is very minimum. So I'm glad that you were put in my life for a reason. And for George, yay.
Yes, thank you, George.
Yeah, thank you for pushing
I'm hoping to do this. Yeah.
Yeah, I am Melissa. I am a mother of four children who are 10, 7, 6, and 4. Bum, 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 bum. We did an interview about that. If you'd like to know more about that, please check it out. Subscribe to Just a Mom. The content is amazing. Yeah, and I've been homeschooling them all their lives. I've never gone to school, formal school, but we've been doing learning from home or life learning, home education.
Yes.
And I love it, love it, love it.
That's amazing. I like the fact that you used home education. I'm saying I like the fact that you used the word home
Home
education.
education.
That to me kind of makes me think that like we've put schooling and it and like everything in a box. But for you, having the kids at home and educating them is I'm sure it's not only through books and stuff like that, right?
Right. And there's been a lot of unlearning that's had to happen for me in terms of what is education, what does that look like? And it's more than just books. Yeah, it's been a journey and it's still a journey. Yeah.
Amazing. I like that. You should make it a hashtag, more than textbooks.
Yes.
I can see the comments and people joining us. Thank you, Rene Gamau. I've seen your comment on YouTube. Anyone else homeschooling teens and preteens? Tips needed. Thank you, Rene. If anyone online is homeschooling teens and preteens, here's your chance to talk to somebody else going through the same thing. And you can, yeah, share tips together. Mom at home on YouTube, I can see your comments. Wow, thank you for all the great questions. Hey, I love this. She's giving us some really good questions. You can see the first one. Can you homeschool anywhere? Say, for example, you travel the whole year and homeschool while on the road. Anyway, that's an example of the questions. I feel like
Yeah.
I want to start from why did you start homeschooling?
Okay. I stumbled into homeschooling. It wasn't intentional or planned. Just when we got our first baby, we were not in a hurry to take him to school. And a lot of the schools that we were visiting seemed to be academic focused. So there's nothing wrong with that. It's just I think having grown up in a very academic environment, I felt when I started working, there's more to life than just academics that contribute to who you become. And so we decided we'll delay taking him to school. And in the process, then we discovered there's something called homeschooling. and then loved it. By discovering it, it was just by talking to other parents, finding out what they're doing or using. Mm-hmm. And then we found out there's a whole community of homeschoolers in Kenya and yeah. internationally, and talked to Kenyan kids who have finished their early education until university by being homeschooled. And so that demystified for us the options of education for our children. And yeah, that's how we got into it in a summarized version.
Ah, amazing.
Yep. Gosh.
Yeah. It sounds like more or less what most of the parents are going through right now. No one has chosen to homeschool their children in the past.
Right.
Literally, right. were pushed into it by a pandemic.
Yep. Yep. And the government saying, stay till next year. You're staying home. Yeah,
exactly. And I feel like you're privileged to have had the experience before the rest of us, so you kind of have the responsibility to help, by the way. Pressure. Anyway, so you decided to start homeschooling. How did you go about choosing the curriculum for your kids?
So as with anything in life, you start from where you know, and we started from school must be serious. You must have a curriculum. Mm-hmm. And we must be able to mark and show this progress of learning. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we started. We went and got an off-the-shelf box curriculum. Mm-hmm. At that point, it was Accelerated Christian Education, ACE, which is an amazing resource.
True, true.
And I'd highly recommend it for people who need that structure in terms of tracking progress and knowing for each grade what needs to be covered and ensuring that every day that's covered. And so that's how we started. And in the process of starting from what we knew, then I discovered my personality and discovered my child's personality. So I had started with a schedule, you know, we start by 8, you need to be seated. And the book says, you know, start with alphabets and start with the sounds and the phonics. Then I discovered my son just couldn't sit still. He hated it. Mm-hmm. I hated having to follow a schedule because I was failing at keeping to the rigid, rigorous structure. Mm-hmm. And a few months into it, it was an exhausting experience. I was an exhausted, unhappy parent was teaching. Mm-hmm. I'd lost the reason why I was teaching because I was pushing him to make sure we keep to a structure. And we don't fall behind our structure. And I miss the joy of knowing him as he's put together. But then it was just him before the rest came. And there were tears. He was crying. I was crying. One happy. And so we put it aside and just started with, what does he enjoy? He loves cars and still loves cars. And if I wanted to get through to him, I needed to understand cars. So even teaching him colors and reading and math, I had to enter his world and introduce it in motion and activity. And then I discovered, oh, I don't need to use a curriculum. I can use resources. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we've transitioned into. So we use resources to learn something. So if it's math, there are many resources that you can use, which we use. And if it's English, if it's science, if you're learning the body. And these resources are everywhere. There's the internet, there's YouTube, there's Textbook Center or bookshops where you buy books. And then there's books that we bring in. So we're now mix and match, mix them, gather them, and put it all together. At the end of the day, the goal is accomplished. I'm enjoying learning them, and they have a happy teacher mom. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's really helpful even for me because I've been struggling with having an unstructured homeschooling like scenario because I feel, like you said earlier, we've been conditioned to believe we have to do, you know, like you have to follow a certain schedule, go through the textbooks, learn whatever we are supposed to learn, do an exam, pass it, then move to the next. Like that's the only way we can measure that we've learned something. Uh-huh. And I've been feeling like maybe I need to get someone to send me a structure that I can follow every morning and a checklist I can be ticking so that I feel like I've accomplished. So what you're saying is that the best way to go about it is to learn your child first, their personality, their likes, and then now fashion your homeschooling experience using that, right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So are there no exams?
Depending on so each, even for my children, all four of them, they're put together very differently.
Okay.
And so even the approach I will use to teach them varies. And I like what you've said. Start by studying each child, because we're all unique.
Okay.
The thing with a school setup is the teacher has to use the law of averages and can't go at the pace of the one who understood it at first introduction, if it's, say, a science formula, and can't wait for the slowest to get it. But the benefit you have with your child is you can go as fast as the first one or as slow as is needed to understand the concept. Mm. And so some resources do have tests that you use to measure or track their progress. What we use at home, the resources that we use, once we've learned a concept, I'm able to check and see, have you understood it? So I'll use a practical example. With my 10-year-old, we're currently learning fractions. Mixed numbers, and it's a whole school experience for me that I have to do fractions again.
Yes. But
if he doesn't get what, for example, a prime factor is, we'll pause and look what other ways can I use to introduce this concept to him, because the goal is not to finish the book, it's to understand it. So we keep assessing as we go along to see that he has understood, because once he's gotten it, then it's easy to build up on a solid foundation than finish with gaps, and so you feel that you're stuck. So exams depend on the resource, but more important is understanding than exams.
Okay, understood. Yeah. You know, you said the word fractions, and I felt myself cringing because I'm really bad at maths. How do you equip yourself to teach? I think that should have even been the first question. How do you equip yourself to become a homeschooler? Because if I have to teach Taji maths, I mean, right now it's easy because it's, you know, she's a pre-kindergarten kid, so the math is not that difficult yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I get to those other ones, I'll be sweating and things like that. So how do you deal with the subjects that you struggle with? Did you have to bring in help, or how did, like, what was your experience with those subjects?
I'll respond differently for that one, because first, homeschooling is it's like parenting. No one teaches you. Even if you attend as many parenting classes, the combination of Karimi and Taji, or me and say my daughter Amara, is so unique that no class can equip you. It can give you the resources necessary, but the best way to learn is on the job. And there's a lovely quote that I saw that says, do not try to replicate your child's previous school experience at home.
Mm-hmm.
Learning is a lifestyle, not a formula. And that means a lot of undoing of what we know, because we want the three easy steps.
True.
How do I plug in? But you're dealing with an individual, and you're also an individual. Mm-hmm. And so the first step is accepting that you're the one educating and accepting that there are gaps that you will have, and being willing to constantly learn and finding out what are the tools that I will need that are necessary. And the biggest tool is joy and enthusiasm, because learning has to be fun. And if I'm not fun and I'm not excited about this concept, they will not be. And so for math, because I'm not necessarily excited about fractions, but I have to choose to be. I want him to be. So if it means I have to cut up the orange and explain, this is a whole orange, let's peel it, these are parts, did you get it? No. I scream inside or scream at him and apologize. let's try with bread. And keep relearning. Of course, as they get into the more challenging subjects, like chemistry or physics or biology, especially if you're preparing them for a set exam, you may need a tutor. But because we're teaching them that learning is a lifestyle, it means the tools that I'm giving them now, when they're adults, they should be able to learn without a tutor. because globally we're moving to self-teaching, where you can learn an instrument. You just need to find out what are the parts of the instrument and how does it work. You need to be able to learn programming. You need to be able to learn how to shoot a video, how to do a Facebook Live. So winning ourselves from having to be taught means we have to win our children also from depending on someone outside. But as long as you have the necessary tools, you can learn anything.
Wow, that's helpful. That's very helpful. Because that's something I struggle with a lot. I need to accept that I'm her teacher and now deal with everything crazy that's happening here so that I don't want to send my child to therapy in the next few years and, you know, taking out my frustrations of not getting it or learning it and all that stuff.
And it's okay. It doesn't have to be perfect. It's okay for you to say, I'm having a bad day. And that's life learning. How do you learn when you're having a bad day? If it means let's cuddle under the blanket and cry for the day, they need to see, and I think that's the beauty of homeschooling. See, the thing with school setup is the math teacher will be the one who's best at math, the Swahili teacher will be best at Swahili, the English teacher. So you're being taught by people who are great at what they do. And that sets a standard that makes you think you have to be great.
That's true.
But if I'm the one teaching art and I'm a horrible artist, but they see me struggle with them, learning with them, then it shows them, okay, I don't have to be great, but I can learn.
Yeah.
And so I can have bad days and I can have good days, but I can still accomplish the goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's deep. Yeah, that one needs to be soaked. I want to look at the comments for a second. I can see Mama Tom on YouTube had written, what are the ups and downs of homeschooling? Thank you, Emma Waithera, for sharing this resource. She was talking about Oak Academy for GCE. I think they're providing. Oh, she's answering a question for Renee Gamau. She's talking about the Oak Academy for GCE. And also, did I see Aga Khan? Khan Academy.
Khan Academy, yeah.
Wow, and it's in charge. That's amazing.
Yep.
Red Letter KE, hi. Thank you so much for joining us. You've been such a great help for me in this season. If you can see the background there, I've gotten those resources from her. And recently I got the creation workbook from her as well. I love the fact that she's incorporating the Bible and the resources we've been using at home, because for us that's important for our family. That touch you also learn the word of God, even though she's learning math, English, science, whatever. So good job, Red Letter KE. Keep up the good work. So her comment is, I love that you're willing to change and adjust to suit your child. Flexibility is crucial in educating children. Thanks for that. Thanks for that. Renee Kamau is saying thank you to Emma. Emma, thank you so much for sharing that resource for her. And Nezareza Modoni, any tips for lacking patience? Whew! We all need that one. Could you? So Melissa, any tips for those of us who lack patience on a regular? Sounds like you have four kids. You must be so zen right now. You've learned how to.
Not at all. Not at all. Hi, Nazareza. I know her.
No, you do. Thanks for joining.
I think first it's you know, we're always so hard on ourselves and trying to be perfect and think that I have to be patient to teach my child. No. I know that I will be learning patience as I teach my child. And part of homeschooling is vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And so that means I have to keep asking my children for feedback. What kind of teacher am I? How is class today? And not interject. Sometimes I even make them role play and act out how to do it. And it's very humbling to see how the ugliness that is displayed when they're acting out teacher mommy.
Okay.
And so when I've had outbursts, which are many, I ask for forgiveness. And these days, when we start the day, we start with a devotion and prayer requests. And my daily prayer request is pray for mommy not to be angry and not to shout. So it's taken a lot of humility, but it's a daily prayer request. So what that has done is when I start getting angry and I lose my patience, imagine they call me out on it. Well, sometimes I say, I'm the mom. you know. But then it also then allows me to be, it's okay for me to mess up. And I think that ties into the question of what are the ups and downs of homeschooling.
Yes.
One of the downs is to know that there will be gaps, and to be okay with the gaps. And by gaps, I mean it's impossible to cover everything 100% to 100% accuracy and efficiency. Mm. But what we need to decide is what is your goal for your homeschool. Yeah. I love that you said for your homeschool, the Bible and God as a center is important, mm-hmm. Which is the same for us. And if in that day all we've had is devotion, it's a good day, because that is what is important. That means in that day there will be a gap. And if my child was to be assessed, there will be gaps. And I need to be okay with that, because we've accomplished our goal. Yeah. And then beyond the goal for the family is a goal for each child, because each child is put together differently. Mm. There are some who are visual learners and everything has to be displayed for them. There are some who are auditory, they need to listen. There are some who are kinesthetic and they need to move. Yeah. And then there's you, the teacher, who may be none of the above. Mm-hmm. And so finding the blend of that means there may be gaps. You may be forcing a certain way of learning that may take longer for this child before you discover how this child is put together.
Okay. Wow.
That's one of the downs, just knowing it won't be perfect.
Okay. So there's something you said that I want to touch on. You talked about the fact that every child is different. Some need visual aids, others need auditory aids. And so that goes now down to, if you have more than one child or even just one, what is the cost? I mean, is it affordable to homeschool all your children? Because I feel like if every child is individual and has individual needs and, isn't it expensive to homeschool your child? Because you have to buy different resources for each. You can't put them all under primary English, book one, you understand? So how have you found?
Okay. Maybe the question. So I'm not sure if it's on my end, but yes, I had the question, the cost and balancing up it with each child. So the costs vary. We, in our homeschool, we use this, I call it a framework rather than a curriculum. It's called Classical Conversations, because it's a spine against which we align everything that we're doing. And so for that one, there is a cost for it that I can't really play around, because we pay to access it. It's an online platform, and then there are books that we buy for that. But then with that, for example, we're learning science, and this time we're going to learn the human anatomy of the parts of the human body. Mm-hmm. Then I'm free to go to Textbook Center and pick based on what I can afford. I use a lot of Pinterest. We learn a lot on YouTube. We love YouTube learning. because at the end of the day, it's a goal. So there are fixed costs, and then there are variable costs. We have some families in our community. One mom who's very amazing and gifted at finding free resources. So she's homeschooled her children completely for free from the internet, because she just has the ability to patiently go through all the different sites and find when some stuff is being offered for free and it's downloadable, then she does that. So it's possible to do it for free, but then it can also add up. The costs can, we've had seasons where we've had to scale back when we found we picked up. We're doing swimming, we're doing ballet, we're doing music, so it's more than just the academic, it's the extracurricular activities. And when resources get tight, then we have to
adjust.
And adjust accordingly. And I think that's an app for homeschooling, that learning is not tied to affordability.
Yes.
The statement that we use with Classical Conversations is, you can teach a child with a stick and sand. Because learning can happen anywhere, which then answers the question that you can learn on the road. There are families who just sold everything and drive through from one place to another and they learn. When you've taken the SGR to Mombasa, I'm those moms. I remove the map. I'm like, what are the Kenyan counties? Hey. Which are the, which are the, and then what is this county known for? Like, it can, learning is endless, you know, and what is the weather and what are the, what is the culture? Which community stays here? What are they known for? What resources have we used to create economy? What solutions can we provide? So it's just a continuum.
Wow, okay, that's encouraging. Cheers to that mom who's who. I mean, I like the fact that there are people who are able to just use the resources and they're free, because I mean, this is a difficult season for a lot of people, and we may, some of us might find that we can't afford to pay for their, you know, the books or the resources that where people have to pay. So just a minute, let me go through the questions. Let me use my phone for this one. Oh, yes, there was this question, or rather a comment. Is homeschooling a calling? Can any parent be a homeschooler?
Thank you. It's controversial. I think, let me put it this way. Every child can be homeschooled. Not every parent can homeschool. And the reason behind that is it varies. There's circumstances, if I'm a single parent and I have to work, I may need to have to hire a tutor if I'm that passionate about learning from home, or I may just have to send my child to school. And I'm convinced that every situation is intentional for what is best for you and for your child. And God is like that. So if it's such that you have to send your children to school, then trust that they need to go to school. They're not missing out on anything. And I've also had to be okay with that, that if a season happens that I will send them to school, then I need to trust that that is what is necessary for them.
Okay.
But then there's also circumstances like I just don't want to. I don't think I can. I have no interest. And if that's my attitude going in, then I really shouldn't be homeschooling them.
Okay.
Because they will pick up that whiny, exhausted, complaining attitude, and I will ruin the joy of learning for them. But every child is homeschoolable.
Okay, yeah. I hope that has answered your question, Kenji. I can see where Apondi, I just need all the help in the world on this. Where I feel you, we all do. And Daisy Nyawera Pusolo, this is an interesting conversation. Can we learn? Thank you, guys. I can see your comments coming in. Thank you so much for joining us. And I hope we're all learning together, because I am also taking notes. I have my notebook over here and my pen. I'm going to, So thank you, guys. And I can see there's another question. It's actually a comment from Red Letter KE. Please address the legal issues around homeschooling in Kenya and what we can do as homeschoolers to change the current legal requirements, e.g. registration of a 4-plus-year-old child. So maybe before we go into that, have you experienced any legal issues since you started homeschooling your children? Because I think a lot of people have concerns as to whether it's legal.
Okay. Personally, as Melissa, I have not. However, there are homeschoolers who have experienced legal issues, and there is an ongoing case in court of which I have had conversations with the petitioners and some of the families who were taken to court, and the charges had to do with, I guess, the legality of demonstrating that they are not neglecting their children by not sending them to school.
Okay.
And this process was ongoing until COVID happened. And now all children have been forced to be home.
The irony of life.
Yes, the irony is even that those people who reported the families that were homeschooling now have to homeschool or teach their children from home. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity for us as homeschoolers to demonstrate the quality. The government, not just Kenya, but globally, the responsibility of the government is for the citizens and the children. And the truth is that there may be some who may be neglecting their children under the guise of homeschool. And so eventually there may need to be procedures and policies around that. And us as homeschoolers are figuring out a way to get together and be part of that conversation. so that our freedom is not taken away to educate our children, whereas being free to be held accountable. But accountability varies. And how much we want to be held accountable varies. So right now, to address that question, I think it will be interesting to see how it will look like in January, because a lot has to be rethought in terms of what education means. There's a lot of parents who are frustrated that our minister can say there's no school and you have to figure out what to do with your children. And the blessing in that is it's causing parents to question, what does education look like for their children, and for us as a country and globally. So there's a lot of, I guess, reflection happening in terms of figuring out what that looks like. But with that is a wonderful opportunity, I think. I feel like it's a reset of, what's the goal, what's the purpose, and, how does it look like for each individual and communities and then globally. So it's really hard to completely address that question right now, because no one will come at me for having my children home, because all children in the country are home.
True.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And I agree that everyone is going through that introspection right now, because even if schools open in January, a lot of us as parents are asking, are we really going to let our children go back to school? Can we trust that they'll put in safety and health? What do they call? Like, will they really take care of the kids? Will they be infected with COVID? Like, there are a lot of fears and anxieties related to that. So a lot of us might have to implement homeschooling as a long-term strategy. So yes, I think that's why these conversations need to continue, because we are thinking about it and we are trying to figure out the right options for our families. So there's a comment from Sikana Andrew Sumbwa. Thank you. You're watching us from YouTube. For 3 to 4 years, how easy is it to homeschool them, especially during this COVID period without a tutor, and since parents are not skilled to teach? I feel like you had covered this earlier, but thank you, Andrew. She had answered that we are all learning, and it's a learning experience for all parents. And if you do feel you're not fully equipped, or maybe you don't have the time because you're working, I believe tutors are available, right?
Yes, there are tutors. Right now there are a lot of free teachers, because they are not going to school, or if they are, their hours in school are reduced. And even to address that, I think in this space we have 3 different categories of people. We have those who are learning at home and the school is still providing digital resources, mainly the international schools. So for those, yes, you're homeschooling, but you have the support of a school, you have structure of what needs to be done. And I'd say don't mess up that structure, because you'll confuse the child, especially if your goal is to continue with the school. And so it's more of focusing on bonding with your child when they're done with the digital platform. Do chores with them, do work with them, let them sit with you on your calls, do gardening, and that is part of home education for them. If they're CBC and CBC has said until January, imagine, let them play. Because your goal is not to homeschool them. So let them be children. And if they were to be candidates to sit for KCP or KCSE, use this time to review, to practice, to revise. If the teachers had given feedback that there were gaps, use this time to fill those gaps while also then studying your child. Because maybe the teachers had been giving you feedback about your child, but now you have your child home. So you have an opportunity to study them and know, actually, this teacher is a problem. Or, now I understand the root of the issue. Maybe there was bullying. Maybe it was insecurities. Maybe the way it was being taught. I don't know. It's a blessed opportunity to figure out your child. But until like the 3 to 4 years, they don't even need a tutor. You know, just give them plasticine or make Play-Doh at home, or send them out in the garden and let them pick all types of leaves and stick them on paper and let's discuss leaves. I think there's a lot happening where we're all stressed emotionally, financially. We're not at the place where we can even communicate the joy of learning to our children. So I think it's like a retreat breathe. But then if your goal is to homeschool, then you know, start by studying your child and then do a lot of research and find out what resources are there and what resource will work. And so we have different categories who are trying to figure it out now. I wouldn't say rush to homeschool. First find out which category do you fall under and then find a solution that works for you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. I hope you that has answered your question, Andrew. There's Nezereza, another comment. Do hybrids exist? Part school, part homeschooling?
Yes, there are some of those that have opened up and they do exist. And a lot of schools are also being forced to do that right now. In fact, that's a big cash opportunity for CBC schools who are told to different school fees, to do the hybrid. Yes, those exist. Even if you just do a simple Google search for hybrid schools, you will find some.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to write that down. I'd never thought of checking out for hybrids. Thank you, Nezereza. Kanye, hi. Thanks for joining us. How do you integrate work and play when homeschooling? Kids lose attention so fast. You just talked about it a few minutes ago when we were answering Andrew's question. And I know for a lot of moms or, you know, parents, they're struggling to, they would love, like for me, my experience has been, you want to give her a book and you want to give her an exercise or whatever, an activity, you want to leave her doing it by herself while you do other things. Mm-hmm. One that she finishes it so fast and then she comes back and I'm like, when I've just sat down on the laptop maybe to do some work or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like her. So the struggle has been, we're supposed to make learning enjoyable. How do you manage that as a working parent? How do you make it fun? While you're integrating work and play and all that stuff.
It's very crazy. I have found, depending on how you're put together, if you're very good with schedules, kids understand schedules. So if you tell them, I have a call for the next 2 hours and for these 2 hours, I'll give you this puzzle. When you're done with this puzzle, I imagine God gave you a brain. You have all these things. He gave you creativity. Figure out what to do. But after those 2 hours, I guarantee you, I will come back and we will figure this out. There's also rhythms. We have what our day is not really scheduled. We go with the rhythm of the day. We know generally after we wake up, there's a flow of how things will go, not necessarily based on time, but based on what time we woke up and where everybody is at. But by the end of the day, there are certain things that we must do. And if you push them, it just means you won't be able to move on to your next activity until you complete what you need to do. But I think it's really challenging to do work because I also have different projects that I'm working on and trying to balance that with schooling the kids. And we've just had to find, if it gets to this time, you know what, I have something else I need to do, or I have to postpone my work. So it's figuring it out.
It sounds like a day to day figuring it out. Because I can understand. I mean, every day is different. Some days the rhythm will flow. Other days you wake up and it's just not going to work. So yeah, that's helpful to understand that. For some the schedules will work, for others it won't. I can see there is mom at home. How do the kids learn social skills? Socialization, Melissa. I know you've been asked that question many, many times. Are your children weird? Do they know other kids? Do they understand that there are humans out there? Do they link up with other homeschoolers? Is there a community?
Well, I even had to look for the definition, definition of socialization.
Thank you.
The activity of mixing socially with others. Mm-hmm. And it's a process of learning to behave in a way that is acceptable to society. So that for a little child, you know, that means basic things like you don't bite when you're angry, and you don't pull hair. But I love that in this space, there's a great equalizer that has happened, is that we're all home.
True.
So for all of us who are all home, how is socialization happening? Even when we're staying home, we found ways to connect, because human beings, we're social creatures.
True.
So as homeschoolers, we have communities. In fact, we have too many communities, but each, like our family has had to figure out, we can't be out of the house every single day. So we'll only join these communities. But the communities that do, their goal is camping, there's reading clubs, there's like a boys, scouts, girl guides type of community, there's Bible clubs, there's academic communities, there's music communities, there's a lot. And if none of those exist, you create your own community and call people around. So the goal of the community will vary, but socialization happens regardless of being in a community. Just that communities add value in terms of consistency, accountability, and connecting with other people.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's one of the positives of homeschooling, because you now get to choose who your child relates with. You can decide who to expose your children to, because you're more likely to find families with the same values as you, or you know, people who also believe the same things that you believe, so that your child doesn't get, you know, caught up in behaviors or values that you don't, you know, personally subscribe to. So, so I hope that has answered the socialization question. Yes, the communities are there. Mama Tomi also asked, how do you incorporate art, sports, and music? So yeah, I think she had talked about this. You said that there are groups, right? There are groups that have art clubs, right?
Yes, sports. There's art clubs, there's sports. We found a lot of sports, especially for homeschoolers, when schools resume their regular schedule, a lot of them are free during the week and during the day. So they're open to give discounts to homeschoolers, like music schools, ballet schools. And so you can go during the off-peak hours and negotiate a discount. But also there's a lot that you can do just from home and from the internet in terms of art, in terms of music. Right now we're trying to learn instruments with our children at home. I'm learning along with them, and we just find a YouTube video, learn a song, and learn to play. So there's a shift that's happened. Let me just put it that way. Yeah.
It's interesting to hear that there's also been a shift for you, because I feel like maybe for you, you are just like, this is normal. I've been doing this for 10 years. So the shift is also, it's happening for everyone. I can see
it feels like our lives were already quarantined.
I hear you.
Yeah. Yes, there's a shift in every way.
Hmm.
Yeah.
My producer is whispering something. Yes. Oh, sorry. He was telling me to share my experience with, you remember talking about the, what's it called? The outings that you usually plan with your communities. You want to talk? You invited us for. I like the outings you guys plan for the kids. You usually take them to places like the museum. There was one I was invited for, but wasn't able to make it. There's a railway museum in town. I mean, back then when things were open, there was also the Kitengela Glass. What's that place called? Where the kids got to learn how the glass blowing. So yeah, those outings I think are amazing for children, for them to actually see how things are made, and it's not just textbooks and papers and stuff like that. So yeah, George was just saying I should share that experience, that those outings are actually really awesome for children. So someone is asking, where are all these communities? Wendy, thanks for joining, I see you. Where are all these communities? Are they on Google to find them?
They have not been, but I guess they should be. I'm happy to share on the link just who the different organizers are and where they meet. I guess because of COVID, a lot of them have taken a break. But there are many. I'd also like to say another shift that has happened even for me in my homeschool, and I'm excited about this one, is because a lot of the resources that we have been using, especially as homeschoolers, very few of them have been locally developed and homegrown. there's been a lot of having to research for my children in terms of when they're learning the great scientists. Who are Africa's greatest scientists? Who are Kenya's greatest scientists? If it's the great musicians, who are the greatest African and Kenyan musicians in Kenyan history? And so it's come up in my mind when you talked about the field trips. And that's the beauty of being locked as a country, is it's causing us to then see what are the African, Kenyan, authentic values I'm teaching my children. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm teaching them to be able to live in the world and, you know, be citizens of the world, but there's beauty in them having their authenticity. So the National Museum is a great place to go to. The Royal Museum is it will start conversations on and hopefully spark research for us as parents and families, just to even talk to our grandparents and hear all their stories of what life in the village was like. And that gives them an identity and a sense that they don't need to leave the country to offer hope and solution. They can do it while they're here. Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome. So they're getting the African experience. It's awesome to hear that, because we need them to learn to be proud, to be Black. It's been a struggle with the kind of textbooks that have been made before. So
yeah,
it's helped. So yeah, maybe we can share the links after the live. We'll post them on all our social media pages,
where
those communities can be found. And maybe ideas on where people can take their kids. Maybe obviously not right now when things open up. So we're almost running out of time, because I wanted to keep this within an hour, and I feel like it's so important, Melissa, for you to talk a little bit about. Earlier you talked about the projects that you hold dear to your heart and that you're working on as Melissa. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about, I know there are two of them that I know of, at least for now. So yeah, tell us about your projects so I can support you.
Okay, wow. This is my time to blow my own horn. Boop, 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 boop. But even as I go there, I'm also very excited that many of us have been forced to be at home with our children, because I believe it will birth a lot of innovation and solutions. I'm excited that you are also in this space, because I know you have been doing animation, or you've been in the space of, you have your Kenya Tube Kids. See, I'm blowing your horn. But in the process of finding literature, good literature, because like I said, we use a classical approach to learning, which basically means using a lot of the old, the good, and the beautiful, and that which is true. So, and that's a lot of the resources that we grew up on, discovering that we don't have much available that is authentically relatable for our children. So they're reading The House on the Prairie, which is a great book, but we don't have prairies in Kenya.
What are those?
Yeah, for them to go and see. Or I think there's a great kids book, A Day in the Snow. I'm not sure when we'll see snow. And so in that process, something that has been in my mind for years has been just to write children books with things that they can see. And so last year in December, I wrote my first, hopefully of many, children's storybooks. I'm working on my second. Awesome. And it's called The Wonderful Hibiscus Tree. I love it because it uses a tree. Yes, you got a copy. It uses, you know, oak and hibiscus, and it's trees that we have. And from there, you can do unit studies. A unit study is you take a subject and you go as deep as you can. So you can go outside with your kids and pick a hibiscus plant. And what can you do with hibiscus? You can make hibiscus juice. There's a hibiscus flower. There's a parts of the flower. There's a lot you can do in a tangible, relatable manner than going to look for a prairie, for example. And then even in the story of the book, there's a life story. I mean, there's a life lesson in terms of knowing who you are. And I love that some of the people who bought the storybooks have used them with their kids to help them with their identity. Yeah. And knowing that they're things that you are that you can never change. The way my hair is, it can never be any other kind of hair, no matter what I do, or my big eyes. Or so to get our children to so I just like the layers in it. So I'm excited about that, and I'm working on the second book, which will be out soon.
Awesome.
And I'm also working on just a project on or a history project. So once that's done, I'll happily share that, because I'm excited about having literature that sparks action in the curious minds of kids. Yes, so that's my book. It's called A Wonderful Hibiscus Tree, and it's for children aged 0 to 8, but you can also read it with kids of all ages. As an aside, I'd like to say one thing that all parents can do in this season is read out loud with your kids. Adult children, teenage children, little children, pick any book, any poem, any book, and just read with them. The beauty of reading out loud with them is it sparks conversation, because you can discuss, if it's an older child, get them to think, what was the framework of the author? What questions can we ask? What things was the author introducing? With a poem, even Humpty Dumpty. What do we think the symbolism of Humpty Dumpty is, and how does that relate with life today? And hear them. They have amazing thoughts about it. And so I'd say, you know, one takeout for every parent listening in is read out loud with your kids and just make it a habit. You get to pick vocabulary. You get to have your internal family vocabulary. We drive with my kids and they'll see something and they'll remember, oh yeah, that's like the giraffe that walked to Paris. That's like the story that, you know, so I love that literature then comes alive for them. So I'd say read as much. The other thing, my shameless plug.
Do it, girl.
Yeah, is also then in this space, you know, just one of the questions was, am I at home the whole time or do I also work? And I think the beauty of also the lockdown, what it's done for all of us is it's causing us to realize jobs can end, man. You'll be sent home. Businesses are suffering. And so it's forcing us to be creative. I'm enjoying is not the right word. It's inspiring to see people selling, baking, making groundnuts. So I'd like to say just buy as much local, just to support people. If you're seeing someone with their Porsche car selling tomatoes, imagine it just means things are thick. Please buy their tomatoes.
Yes.
To encourage them. But in that space, then for the last 7 years, I've been making a natural body butter at home, and it's great for skin, for hair. It uses just all natural resources and ingredients, which are all edible. That's the other thing that I do, and it's called Kono Skincare. I think the link is there. You can follow us on Instagram, and also for the book, you can place your order via Instagram.
Okay, thank you so much. You can see all the comments coming up. Everyone wants to buy your book. So if you can see scrolling on the live, you can purchase her book on Instagram. We'll also post the links right after the live so that you can go and see all the things that the wonderful projects that she's working on. Because books are life. There's a lot that children can learn from us parents reading aloud. And it's amazing that you're the one who illustrated it. I mean, who knew? You see the skills that people are learning. She did this, guys. It's amazing. Well done, Melissa. It's inspiring.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I know there'll be orders after this. In Jesus' name.
Yay.
I can see this. Cynthia Cheng of Bureau. Well done on the book. Where can we buy it? Mwendemba is saying, amazing what you're doing, Melissa. Very inspired. Thank you for sharing. My mom. Hi, mom. That's great, Melissa. We need children's books that contextualize our situation in Africa. Good stuff. You see. So yes, we shall definitely share the links right up to this. Even Red Letter KE, I see you're asking about it as well. Yay for Kenyan content for homeschool. Well done. How can we get your resources? And Nezareza is saying, we use Kono. We love it. Very true. Her oil is amazing, guys. I've used her body butter before. I've been broke, my dear. I shall order more. I shall order more soon. So there's well done on the book. Yes, that one we've already seen it. Oh, there's another comment by Mwendemba, yes, on hybrid schools. There's one that opened at Nairobi Baptist this year. That's good to know. She can't remember the name of the school.
It's called Laleo.
Laleo.
Yes, it's called Laleo School. I'll also share the contacts on there. And yeah, the person who started it started as a homeschooler, and they're an amazing family. So
Oh, good stuff.
yeah.
So I'm reading the comments on my page. Mogore Wanjaki, thank you for listening in. I like that it's okay to play it by ear and go with the child's flow. My almost 4-year-old is an eclectic learner, and sometimes I wonder if you're getting anywhere, but this here has been very encouraging. So yeah, Melissa, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us. And I can see we have so many comments and questions that we did not get to. And remember when we were discussing this live, I told you I'm so sure we might have to do this again. That introvert shell, by the way, we have to force
Yeah.
through it because the information is needed. I can see there are still comments about the book. We read the book to our little one. Red Letter KE is ordering the book right now. Woohoo! Good stuff.
Okay.
So I promise that I'm going to look at all the questions that we haven't answered and talked about, and we shall plan for another live. I'll have to discuss with Melissa which day works best for her. And yeah, so thank you so much everyone for joining us and for the amazing questions and the amazing comments, because it has also helped, it has helped me, it has helped Melissa to understand where everyone is at. And hopefully we are building a community where we can grow together even during this season. So thank you so much, Melissa, for sharing your wisdom. May God bless you and may
Thank
you keep
you.
thriving. So thanks, guys. See you on the next live. We shall be posting information about the next one very, very soon. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much. This has been amazing. I've enjoyed it. Who would have thought? Yeah, it's been
Thank you, George. Why are you laughing? Okay, so bye. Bye, everyone.